Now we're on the turn to, First Chronicles. Our offering was $948.25 now. Thank you, Lord, for that. What a blessing. I appreciate you giving. Seth, we'll turn to, somewhere in First Chronicles. Chapter 18, I believe, somewhere along in there. There's a bunch of scripture that I wanted to show you that have been on my heart for starting this church. I believe that when the Lord wants you to do something, you should search the scriptures to make sure He's in it. And during the time that I was really wrestling with this, I was reading 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles and along in there, and you would be amazed at the stuff you'd find in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. You'd be amazed. Most times you think, them old books back there ain't got nothing in the things. But that's not true. Some of the greatest verses in the Bible are hid back there in 1 and 2 Chronicles. I can show you one. If somebody says, why did any castle want to do that? Hold your place here and turn to 2 Chronicles 33, and I'll show you one the Lord gave me. Well, that water, we need a water fountain bad. That's a good project for somebody. You don't need a big old bottle, or something. 2 Chronicles 33, and I want you to look at this scripture the Lord showed me. Somebody said, well, they've had rough times, hard times, and the devil's been, causing us trouble and everything. Why would he even think about it? Okay, let me show you why. Look at chapter 33 and verse 12. Chapter 33 and verse 12. And when he was in wonderful time, right? Is that what it says?
No.
And when everything was going good, right? Wrong. And when he was prospering and everything was okay, inside, outside, wrong. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly. That's what I did. And before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Verse 14, what did he do? And after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side. There's where he come from. Cary came up with it first, and then God gave me this scripture. There it is. Of Gihon in the valley, even to the entrance of the fish gate, to pass by Ophel, and raise it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he goes on to say, he took away the false God. The Lord gave me scripture after scripture after scripture, like that, about that. Down to the name. And I asked him, I made it hard. I said, God, I want to do the very best I can. Now, here in 1 Chronicles, I'm going to show you some scripture if I can find it. I'll just read it this evening. And in 1 Chronicles, the Bible talks about this over and over and over, where these people were against tremendous odds. Thank you, buddy. And what is that? That looks like it's got lemon in it or something.
Lemon water. Good for your voice.
Why couldn't you just have the Mountain Dew while you're Is that right? Well, anyway, they went against odds, tremendous odds. And this scripture here, I don't know where it's at. It's in here somewhere. That God gave me this message tonight was about Manasseh, king of Judah. And as you know, the kingdom of Israel had split. And there were 10 tribes, and two tribes. And Manasseh was king over Judah. And Israel was king, Jehoshaphat was king over Israel. And somewhere, I read it all evening, I've got it here somewhere. But anyway, these guys, they split up. They split the kingdom, and they begin to pray unto the Lord against their enemy. And the Bible said that God heard this king, and he helped him. Here it is, 18, 2 Chronicles 18. And in this, we'll look at verse number 28, 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 28. And I'm just going to bring you a little message the Lord laid on my heart, and it will not be long. We're going to do something else as we leave tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse number 28. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle. But put thou on thy robe. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria, that's the bad guys in this story, had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Now really it wasn't. It was the other fellow, the king of Judah. But they thought it was, they thought it was the king of Israel and wanted to kill him. They said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariot perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. Now the verse that got a hold of me was verse 31. Here's this king, and this king is compassed about, King Jehoshaphat, with a bunch of people trying to kill him. They thought he was king of Israel. He was King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And this whole crowd of people gathered around him saying, kill the king of Israel. It wasn't the king of Israel, it was Jehoshaphat.
Right.
And they all ganged up on him.
Right.
Now, if you were standing in the middle of this room tonight, and everybody in here will circle around you with a sword, I'd say you didn't have much of a chance.
Right.
I don't care how tough you are, if everybody, if there's 86 people in here with a sword and a knife, and you were standing right in the middle, if I had to bet, I'd put my money on the crowd.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about betting. It's not right. I'm just going to talk about it. Use it for an illustration. I'm going to talk about gambling. And I'm preaching on the subject, beating the odds.
Yeah.
Beating the odds. History is shaped by people who went against tremendous odds and stuck their neck out and took risks and somehow or another were able to beat the odds. The man I preached about this morning, Noah, he beat the odds. He was the only man that believed like he believed.
Right.
He was the only man, him and his family was the only people that believed like he believed. Can you imagine Noah's wife going to the grocery store? All the other women said, her husband's crazy. I'd leave him if that was my husband. I would just stand away with that lunatic. He believed water's going to fall out of the sky and drown all of us fine people. And him and his family built that big old boat out there in the middle of nowhere. He's crazy. He's lost his mind. But he was right, people. He was right. And he beat the odds. Can you imagine Noah being on Oprah or Sally Jesse Raphael? Or Jerry Springer, and here's Noah sitting there. They laughed at him. They made fun of him.
Yep.
I mean, his name was in the paper. This crazy fanatic. But religious leaders said he was crazy.
Right.
They said he was off. But Noah had a word from God.
Right.
And brother, if God says something and the whole world says something else, then God is right and the whole world wrong.
Right.
I don't care if everybody says something different. Whatever God says is right. Is right. Let me put it to you like this. The book says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. He beat the odds. Now, gambling has been a part of culture, I guess, forever. And I want to talk about to illustrate this about beating the odds tonight. Gambling is basically, a lot of people wonder why preachers preach against it. And the reason it is because gambling is basically trying to get something for nothing.
Right.
or something you didn't earn, or something you didn't deserve, trying to get something for nothing. And the reason preachers, I've had people ask me all the time, what's wrong with gambling, Brother Danny? What does the Bible say of gambling? I've had a bunch of people ask me that. And the answer is, when you're gambling, normally people in Las Vegas tonight or whatever, they're dependent on one thing to make them win that money. You tell me what that one word is. Luck. Now, you look at how that word spelled, luck, L-U-C. That is a direct cousin to the word L-U-C-I-F-E-R, Lucifer. And there's been what it means, light, luck, bright, luck. Like that, Lucifer. And that's where people, you know, why they get them out there. Come on, baby. Why they blow on them things for? Is that going to make it land on the right number that you want to land on? No. If you say, come on, come on, do like that. And you're hoping, yeah, come on, I got this. And you're saying, come on, help me. Who are you talking to?
Right.
Come on, help me.
Go ahead.
The devil. You say, not me, I talked to the Lord. Lord, they ain't going to help you. Now listen, the old-fashioned preachers have some strong convictions against him.
Amen.
We don't know. I mean, I felt guilty. Old Jack Wood, he's an old preacher out there in Texas. He's rough as a cob, son. And somebody came up to him and counted me and said, preacher, if I win the lottery, I'll give you $1 million. He said, if you win the lottery, you can stick in your ear. That's what the old thing preachers believed. We, I don't believe that. I'm like Robin Hood, amen. Please take it from Las Vegas and give it to the Lord. But there are some convictions against gambling. I tell you what, if you win it, give it to me and don't tell me where it comes from. You can sleep, I can sleep. But technically, we preach against gambling. We don't believe you're supposed to gamble.
Right.
Because you're dependent on luck to do it. You're also getting something for nothing. As a matter of fact, I read about back in the old days in Saudi Arabia, several years ago, man lost $1 million in Las Vegas. Just like that. I heard of another fella out in Chicago at the Santa Fe LaSalle Hotel in Chicago. They had that big fire. And they were all gambling in there. That's what they did at the LaSalle Hotel in Chicago. And he called his wife. She said, honey, you better get on home. It's getting late. He said, I'm going to play one more round of cards. And he played that one more round of cards. And building caught on fire and burned him to death. They carried him out just of ashes and body the next day. You know what? One round of cards was all that stood between him and dying and eternity. And it stood between him and death. So we don't like that or go along with that. The most popular hymns or numbers in Monte Carlo when people gamble are 17 and 29. You know why? When somebody gambles, they want that number 17 or that number 29. And you know why? Because that is the most popular hymns in the church hymnal. And they believe if they pick out them hymns that are the church like, that God will let them win all that money. Now, what do you think God thinks about that? Sitting in heaven, that God sitting in heaven saying, here's somebody in there using my hymn number, and in there shooting dice, and they're thinking, trying to win money. I ain't going to let them do it. I'm not going to let them do it. He probably won't do it. And if they did, it would just be, you know, just him allowing the devil to get anything. It's gambling. That's what that is. They said that this was a bad gamble. They said that in some countries, that the next Sunday's hymn, whatever they're going to sing in church the next Sunday, that's what they put their money on. And that's something. That's what they thought. Maybe God will help them. Others just said, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby. And they're talking to something or somebody. I don't know who they're talking to. Asking for help. But the truth is, they're going against odds. And what I say when I say odds are, if you have to bet, and you don't have to, but if you have to bet, and we have a basketball goal in here, and we have Michael Jordan right here, and then he was playing, I don't know, so this in second grade. And they say, who are you going to bet your money on? Well, the odds are that Michael Jordan is going to win. I mean, there's a slight chance that the little fella might pull it in, and you're just going to win. He'd win one to nothing. But I'd put my money on Jordan, would you? I mean, if you had the entire team of the Pittsburgh Steelers in here tonight, and you had a little Pee Wee team from over here in Burke County, we all know, put your money on Pee Wee team. No, I'm just kidding. You know where you put your money? They put your money on the professional team. The odds are that they're going to win.
Right.
Now, in this story tonight, Jehoshaphat was going against the odds. I mean, there's no doubt about it. One man against the whole army. I'm not going to preach long so you get this point. One man against the whole army.
Right.
Here he's standing in here. Whole army gathered around him. I think they're all coming towards him with sword. There's no way he can win. There's no human possible way that he can win. Do you realize tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that that's the shape I find myself in?
Yeah.
How can we find ourselves in? You know, we are a really good crowd here tonight, but we ain't nothing. There's 80,000 people in this county. And if you put all those 80,000 people like dots on this wall, we would be one little dot of 85 people. The odds are against us. The world is against us.
Right.
The devil is against us.
Right.
Look at all the odds there is against me.
Yeah.
The chance of me getting any kind of success or doing anything is greatly against me. You know that. You know the odds is against me. The odds always have been. The odds is against this church. Here we are, a brand new little church, just started here, struggling. I mean, God's blessed us, but we're just a little bitty speck on Burke County map. The odds are against us. But somehow or another, Jehoshaphat won.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, he come out victorious.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, he made it. I will show you how he made it right quickly. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat came. He was standing in there. And I want us to look at verse number 31. That's what he did. He was sending all them people around him. He didn't say, all right, I'll do this. I'll shoot this one and shoot that one. And turn around and shoot three or four more back here. Then I'll run this way. He didn't even do it. That old boy knew the odds was too great. He knew he couldn't do it by himself. He knew he did not have the power or the strength to stand against that whole crowd. And the Jehoshaphat didn't look this way or that way. He looked up like this and started saying, oh, old daddy don't do nothing, brother. Old daddy ain't got to fight these odds without God, is he?
Amen.
The Lord's going to have to be our
help. Hallelujah.
The Lord's going to have to do this.
Yes.
If there's a church built here, the Lord will have to do it.
Yeah.
You realize that 99% of the world, 90% of the church is against us? Do you realize that I'm beat before I even start? Do you realize they checked me off a long time ago? Hey, but one way this thing can go good, brother. There's only one way. Man, they're fooling me what I'm doing. There's only one way, and I believe it with all my heart. I believe that God Almighty is greater than 99% of the world. I believe God's greater than 99% of the church people. I believe God's greater than me. He's greater than you. And if God wants something done right here in this place, and a light turned on in this county, there's not enough devils in hell.
I'm
about to make a Methodist take a shout.
I'm telling you.
Thank God. Years ago in this country. Now you relate, I'm relating to you, so you relate it to you. You got family trouble?
Go ahead.